B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, a teenage girl who reported an attempted abduction Friday morning has admitted to making up the incident so she could avoid going to school. The teen initially claimed that she was abducted while waiting at her bus stop. She said she was able to escape and provided deputies with a description of the suspects. Deputies immediately responded to the area after the call was received, and they notified other local law enforcement in the surrounding area. Detectives later interviewed the high school student with her mother present, and she retracted the story.
Do they now, in a case like that, aren't they capable of charging the girl with the expenditure of the search and the time spent?
Potential charges will be reviewed by the prosecutor's office. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, also,
even if you get out of school because of it.
Well, it's not just because the resources are taken away.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a crime.
Somebody could get falsely.
Yes.
You know, she gave a description. Somebody could get picked up.
You remember
they
could swatting.
Maybe get hurt because they were confused.
Yeah.
You know, so, it's just bad all the way around. A man who federal prosecutors said used a drone. This is a follow-up story in Pennsylvania. A drone to drop explosives near his ex-girlfriend's home in eastern Pennsylvania has been sentenced to 5 years in prison on weapons charges. Jason Muzzicato was arrested in June of last year after authorities raided his Washington Township home and his auto shop in Bangor. They were investigating a series of small explosions that had rattled area residents for several weeks. Remember when this happening?
No one could figure out what the hell was going on.
Yeah. The searches turned up numerous guns and ammunition that Muzzicato wasn't allowed to have because his ex-girlfriend had a protection from abuse order against him. Muzzicato said that he had guns in the house because he had been subject to harassment, including damage to his vehicles and those of customers at his business.
Because everyone says I'm crazy!
He denied flying the drone, but eventually pleaded guilty in December to two weapons possession counts and flying an unregistered aircraft. So he was flying these little bombs out and dropping them off.
Insane.
That's crazy.
Insane.
Man. Yeah. A man accused of breaking into Miller Park in Milwaukee and damaging the field told police that he was going to try to write his name in cursive with the tractor tires, but it moved too slow.
Okay.
Kenyon Lambert is charged with criminal damage to property. Lambert told police that he tested the doors at the ballpark and was surprised to find an open door, so he took it as a sign.
Your Honor, my client was simply attempting to write his name in cursive.
Once on the field, Lambert yelled at security officers, there was security footage that shows a man walk out of view of the camera, then emerge while riding a tractor in right field. The man is seen driving across the field, lowering and raising the front end bucket and digging holes in the field.
Hardest letter to write in cursive on a tractor.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
X? Who knows? The report said that the person they arrested later and identified as Lambert admitted to scaring security team by reaching to his waist so they would be afraid to approach him. But, yeah, he tried to get out there and write his name in cursive on the tractor on the field. The off-duty cop accused of slashing tires on the very street he patrols is finally facing charges weeks after being caught on video during the incident. So they caught him red-handed. Officer Dion Fernandez was charged with felony criminal mischief for allegedly causing $5,543 in damages. Fernandez lashed out after being denied alcohol at a downtown restaurant. So
he slashed tires.
He went out and slashed tires. Fernandez was off duty at the time of the incident.
This could affect his job.
He has been put on paid leave ever since. So I'm assuming it doesn't say in this story, but it might have been one of those cases like you wanted one more drink and they said no dice and that pushed him over
All right, I'm going to slash tires.
Mm-hmm. A misunderstanding over a few Tampa Bay Lightning fans' passion for their team during the Stanley Cup Finals on Wednesday night, produced a scene in Tampa rife with cops and, in the end, a little comic relief. Devin Garnett was watching Game 3 with his buddies in an apartment, and in one first period sequence, when Victor Hedman controlled the puck in the Lightning's offensive zone, the friends began screaming,
"Oh, no.
Shoot, shoot, shoot!"
Oh, God.
At the TV.
No.
Evidently, that prompted a neighbor to call the police. Minutes later, a handful of deputies were at the doorstep. Garnett said that they came to the door and they thought there were guns in the house and were like, nope, we're just screaming for Steven Stamkos. The complainant had told police that he heard a couple screaming at each other, with one yelling, I dare you to shoot. With that, once the cops found out the story, they went on their way, and it ended up being no problem whatsoever. All right, and then we'll do one last story. Wow, this is pretty messed up. New information from police records, this is in Michigan, showed that paramedics tried to revive 20-year-old Tamisha Beauchamp for 30 minutes, but with no luck. Beauchamp's mother had called 911 asking for help because she described her daughter as non-responsive. When 911 asked if she was breathing, her mother said she couldn't tell. Beauchamp has a cerebral palsy and multiple medical issues. When police arrived on the scene, medics were already there. Paramedics told the investigating officer that they had done CPR on Beauchamp for 30 minutes, but that she was deceased. While police, fire, emergency, and personnel were all there, family told the officer they believed that Beauchamp still had a heartbeat. Police asked the paramedics to come back inside and check again. They told the family she was deceased, but it was possible that they would continue to see her chest move because of some of the medication she was on.
Huh?
The family then contacted the funeral home and sent two staff members to collect the body. And according to the funeral home staff member, Beauchamp was still breathing when the employee pulled the cover back and notified the family immediately. Funeral home staff said that they had been advised by the emergency personnel that they would continue to see her chest move for another hour. The funeral home transported her to the facility for embalming, but said when they unloaded her, they heard her take a loud gasp for air. That's when the funeral home called 911 and Detroit emergency personnel was dispatched. A state investigation is ongoing in this incident.
Did they revive her?
Well, she's in critical condition.
Okay.
So they have her. Yeah, so the family has retained an attorney. Two emergency technicians involved in this case have been suspended so far. But, yeah, dude, she's still alive. She's in critical condition.
What drug would give you the outward signs of breathing?
After you're dead.
After you're dead.
I have no idea. So, obviously, somebody's in some trouble over this. So,
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A Columbus man who has a past history of collecting the urine of young boys has been arrested on a charge of possessing child pornography.
Oh, my God.
So, Alan David Patton is 68 years old. He was arrested. Police had received a tip that Patton was allegedly attempting to find child pornography through an online search engine. But
creepy.
So he's busted for that. But listen to his past. So
all right.
In 2008... Patton was charged with criminal mischief after he was caught collecting urine in the men's room at Sports Ohio in Dublin. Now, Dublin police said that this is Dublin in Ohio. Dublin police said that he put a plastic wrap over the toilet seats, shut off the water to the urinal, and placed foam cups in them. Police said Patton like to drink the urine of young boys.
Jesus. Oh my God.
Patton's case caused the Ohio General Assembly to change state law, making it a first-degree misdemeanor to collect urine for a non-medical purpose. So they made a law against this.
You look like the piss boy.
I guess there's a Delaware County in Ohio, because it says the Delaware County Sheriff's Office charged Patton in 2010 after he was found inserting materials in toilets to capture urine at a Burger King.
So what was, when if someone was peeing into said toilet, would it have been saran wrapped down to a cup?
I guess that's how he figured it out, how he worked it.
Could you imagine if this pervert had turned his inventiveness towards like a cure for cancer or something?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he held the secret
to that.
Instead
of the piss cup.
But he went to jail for I think 4 years because he had also apparently been trying to get young boys to do it for him. So that's just messed up, man. All right, let's move on to something else. A legislator in Argentina's lower house of Congress has been forced to resign after he was seen kissing his girlfriend's bare breasts during an online congressional debate.
Wow.
The scandalous moment during a debate about pension fund investments was transmitted live on the lower house's YouTube channel and on a giant screen set up in Congress for online debates during the pandemic. While some Argentinian legislators are attending sessions in person, many are logging on from home.
This is the best meeting ever.
Juan Emilio Ameri had claimed that he thought that he was offline during the incident, but resigned on Thursday after he was called to order by the president of the lower house, Sergio Massa.
Could you not wait till the end of the meeting before you did that?
Well, here's what he said in a radio interview later. He said, I have terrible internet connection at home. He said that his girlfriend, who had recently had breast augmentation surgery, happened to enter the room while he thought he was offline and that he called her over. And he said, let's see how the implants look, I told her.
Oh, God.
He said, look, this one's down a little more. This one's down a little less. Let's look at the scars. And she was
see how those breast implants look.
And she was beside me, and I, he said, I kissed her, and he says, T-I-T-S. He kissed her boobs, and he said, and that was all.
So this is playing all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On a big screen in Congress. despite his claim that he thought he was offline, footage that promptly went viral shows the legislator looking directly into his computer's camera before pulling down his partner's blouse.
Damn. Damn, look at that, man.
All in full view of the other members of Congress. And online viewers as well. So he's stepping down because of
I think you should employ, and this is probably sage advice to anyone at home, we in broadcast, the broadcast business, we treat every mic as if it's live.
Mm.
So when you treat your camera on your computer as if it's on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You can just put a little piece of tape over.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you can kiss all the knockers you want.
Yeah. Firefighters cut through a ceiling while battling a house blaze in New York, in Brooklyn, last week, and bundles of hidden cash started raining down on them.
Wow.
The FDNY source said it was buried treasure, basically, and it just kept falling out. The firefighters had arrived just after 2 a.m. to put out a fire, which had started on the first floor. When they discovered that the flames had snaked their way into the ceiling, they cut through the overhead drywall to stamp it out. And then the cash, all wrapped in plastic bags and tinfoil, started landing on their heads. And the source said it was tons of cash. It just fell right out of the ceiling. Pretty cool. It was in bundles. It wasn't like one solid brick. It just kept falling out. The cash could total as much as $1 million.
Oh, so $1 million. And who owned this place or who
well
whose
it's,
money is
it's,
it?
It's kind of they're not sure. So it was told it possibly came from life insurance policy of a resident deceased husband. There were so many bundles that all filled with new $100 bills, by the way, that they needed to be weighed to estimate their worth.
Oh my God.
A neighbor had said the entire home had been renovated about a year and a half ago, but the hard work all went up in smoke during the blaze. The neighbor had doubts about whom the hidden hundreds belonged to. He said she was a seamstress and he was a cook in a restaurant. I don't see it coming from either of them. The cash bundles were returned to a resident who claimed that they were theirs, but the
yes, it's mine.
But the NYPD came and took them back so that police could vouch for them. So we're going to see. There's going to be, you know, they're going to have to go
That's
through a
crazy.
Process to try and figure out if it is indeed their money or not. But $1 million,
yeah,
where they've hidden cash in a ceiling. It's ridiculous. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.